Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how the devil are you doing?
Hello, Christoph. How are you doing? Yeah, what I like about your current setup in your studio that is now being reimagined as a Tokyo or Osaka back street with loads of like Abroad in Japan graffiti and LED lights and steam and all sorts of stuff. Like a few weeks ago, you were remarking that you felt a little lonely in your office, in your studio by yourself recording this podcast. You effectively made yourself look even more lonely because you've created like a cityscape where you are the only resident. You've become the last man in your office to the last man on earth. I'm enjoying it.
I am the last samurai in a cyberpunk environment. It is cool, and I do feel very lonely. The sad thing about being in the studio, which I love dearly. I do a lot of things alone here, and I'm lonely, and I just sit there listening to sad music and being lonely. One is the loneliest number by 3.9.
Hey, look, you got to remember, Japanese pornography, they're big into public stuff. You could always rent it out as a fake backstreet.
Oh dear. Always goes from zero to 100.
To porn.
Zero to porn with Pete Donaldson. another potential series. Yeah, I mean, it could be a great porn set, couldn't it? The most elaborate film set ever designed, committed to Pornhub. It is good. It is very good. Speaking of, I mentioned a minute ago The Last Samurai, and that is because I'm meeting Ken Watanabe again.
What?
In 2 days' time.
You guys have become massive besties.
Absolutely. And I've had to like hide the cardboard cutout because I don't want him knowing that I have a cardboard cutout in my studio of himself to scale. One day I'll show him. That'll be the end scene of the entire documentary. I'll be like, look at this, Ken, I got this. And he'll be like, get out. I regret doing all of this.
This has been a lie.
I'll be like, oh.
Burn the masters.
Yeah. God. I hope it goes well this time. I was so nervous on the first time that I look back at it in hindsight and I think, could have done that a lot better. But I don't feel as nervous now. I feel like there's not as much pressure now that I've met the man. It was just really surreal sitting there in his cafe having a pizza and being like, sorry, Ken, can you just pass me the milk for the coffee? And he's like, yes. And it's just like, what is this? What's going on? That's not how I envisioned meeting Ken Watanabe. Having a pizza.
I presume his English is very good as well when it comes to interviews.
He's all right. He's all right. Yeah, he's not that bad. He did do most of his interviews in Japanese. I think because he's very passionate about things. He wanted to give sort of really deep opinions and sort of in-depth opinions. So he stuck to Japanese a lot in the interviews, which was good. It also meant I had to work 10 times harder to sort of pick up everything that he was saying, which I didn't do a very good job doing, admittedly. But there were some really nice moments. Annoyingly, like one of the best moments is when the cameras were sort of switched off and I was sitting on some grass with him. And we were just talking about the weather and the seasons and the best time to sort of just come up to this part of Japan and having a nice sort of poignant conversation. And then I realized the cameras weren't on and I was very angry. It's one of those moments, all the best moments of interviews often happen when the cameras are stopped rolling, right? Or when people think the cameras have stopped rolling. So I'll have to just do just like a 1 minute interview and just be like, oh, cameras are stopped now. Let's just stand here and talk for 5 minutes and one on one. It's probably a bit shady. But so I'm sitting him this week and looking forward to that. Round two of Ken, of potentially
beautiful.
Three.
Beautiful.
We got a story here this week from a chap named Phil. And it begins. What does it begin? It begins, good morning, gents, from a wet and rainy Richmond, British Columbia, Canada. Oh, I've got some family there. 10 years ago, I decided to take full advantage of the one-year Japanese working holiday program. After my first month of traveling around Japan, I decided to try to find a gym. Good God, that's the one thing I mean, I did a working holiday for 1 year after Jet, and finding a gym was certainly not on my agenda. I love that.
That's staying away from them, Phil, if possible.
Dedication. Late one evening, while perusing the internet, my girlfriend found an advertisement for a gym very close to our house in Itabashi-ku. The next morning, I trekked out in order to find this wonderful gym. Confused, I arrived at the address and found myself in front of a very old home. I knocked on the door and was greeted by a pleasant man. In broken Japanese, I asked if this was, in fact, the location of the gym, to which he replied, yes, and he ushered me into his home. Okay. As I stepped into the home, the gentleman gasped and pointed to my feet. I forgot to take off my shoes. One thing you don't do. The one thing you don't do. It's the only time I've ever seen anyone be angry in Japan. It's when my friend left their shoes on. Don't leave your shoes on. Don't be like Phil. Don't be like my friend George. Take your shoes off. The old man motioned to the cabinet beside the door and offered me a pair of tight-fitting slippers. We walked through his home to a covered hallway leading to a small warehouse. I don't like where this is going. To my amazement, this smallish warehouse was full of older people. Full of older, properly... a warehouse full of old people. A small warehouse full of old, properly maintained gym equipment. Sugoi! I'd finally found my gym, or so I thought. We then returned and walked through his home to his front door. And then... this is when all hell broke loose. I gave my thanks and started walking out the door. As I stood on the sidewalk in front of his home, the man shouted something and pointed to my feet. I had forgotten to remove the damn slippers. Oh. I could only assume he was upset at the slippers that had been contaminated from touching the outdoor pavement. I immediately attempted to kick off my right slipper, but as I had wide feet, the slipper was stuck. I kicked a bit harder, and to my horror, the slipper exited my foot at an insane velocity, traversing 5 feet upwards and striking the man in the face in his upper right eye, knocking off his glasses. I said, "Daijoubu desu ka? Are you all right?" and rushed over to help him. He motioned me to stop as I was still wearing my dirty slipper. Oh, my goodness. I then tried to flick off my left slipper. And in my shock and stupidity, again, this demon-possessed slipper took off like a Tomahawk cruise missile, hitting him in his manhood. I ran to him and... what the fuck? I ran to him and put my hand on his shoulder, asking, "Daijoubu, daijoubu." And at this very moment, a woman appeared, most likely the man's wife or possibly even his mother. I could only imagine what she was thinking, a foreigner grabbing this man by the shoulder with a broken pair of glasses on the ground. She immediately began yelling. I grabbed my shoes in hand and sprinted out the door, barefoot like Usain Bolt. I ran for about 1 kilometre, entered a grocery store and anxiously hid in a washroom for about 2 hours. Needless to say, I didn't join the gym. In all seriousness, have you ever accidentally assaulted the elderly? All the best, gents. Phil from British Columbia.
What a story. And what a, like, he fucks up and he panics and he kicks a slipper into the right eye of an old man. And then to apologise, kicks the slipper into the balls of an old man. It's an astonishing, almost unbelievable story. It just sounds like it went incredibly badly. I still think that if a gym proprietor, because I can't imagine there'd be that many people kicking around doing gym stuff out in the sticks. So, beggars can't be choosers, I'd say to the man. Let me in your gym and I won't rough you up again. And I'm not paying any entry fee. I'm not paying a monthly subscription. I just won't kick you in the balls with my slipper.
Oh God, there's so many things there. Like, I love the way that's a story. Essentially, like, as the old man would tell it, he'd be like, this Canadian man assaulted me, and he came in and he beat me with his slippers, and he kicked me in the groin, and he smashed me in the face. He broke my glasses. And like, from that angle, it's like the story of a ruthless foreigner who committed just assaulted this poor old man. He just wanted to run his gym in his warehouse with his wonderful equipment. And yet from our story, we've got the tale of a Canadian man who's justifying the assault of an old man. Like, it's all a bit Rashomon. It's great. I love it. It's a story that did this really happen? This is insane. How big a hole Phil dug here. I don't think we've ever had a story quite like this in all the years, the 3-4 years we've been doing this podcast. That is like a top three story. So if you listen to this podcast, this episode, guys, well done. You've heard
one of the best stories we've ever had. It's just the way that it's kind of like, I love people who fuck up and then compound that fuck up with another fuck up. A more exciting, more visually arresting fuck up. So well done. Well done, that person. Well done, Phil.
I mean, the story could have ended with just going into a weird gym, which was... I mean, that sounds so odd. I've never heard of anything like that. This poor old man, he's probably like been running this gym like 50 years in his warehouse. I don't like the idea that to get to his gym, you have to sort of walk through his house. How does that work? It sounds a little bit dodgy. It sounds a little bit devoid of health and safety, doesn't it? What do you make of it, Pete?
Just a little bit,
gym?
Just a little
what
bit.
Is this? I'm going to go and track it down.
Yeah,
I'm going to go to Itabashi and like just type in gym into Google and see what comes up. I'm going to track it down.
You'd be faced by the
other side of the story.
Well, no, I mean, you'd be interviewed for entry to the gym by a much younger man. Say, what happened to you? The older man, he said, oh, it was my father. He died of balls. He died of a broken ball.
Some man, a slipper went through his face and killed him. Ridiculous.
Alex Ferguson, wonderful.
Well, we've got a story equally horrifying and terrifying involving monkeys this week. It was a story that Pete Donaldson sent to me. Pete, what is this story? What are these monkeys doing? It makes a change that it's not a bear on the leash causing mayhem and destruction. We've got monkeys this time. What happened?
I mean, to be honest, mate, like from what I've seen, and it's all from NHK News and everything's in Japanese, but there's just a monkey on the loose. There's a bloody monkey on the loose,
and
he is running all around. He's running all around Shinjuku, and now he's kind of headed towards Shibuya. It's still on the loose. The people, nobody can seem to sort of stop it from running around and running amok around the city. He is alone. He's just a big macaque looking fucker with his big pink bum and his tail up in the air. No one can catch him. The TV crews that are following it around are enamored by it. It's just jumping around all of the electrical and communication wires above the streets. It's brilliant. He's having a lovely time. He is the best monkey in the world, having the best time, just running around the city like some kind of urban fox.
it's one of these Japanese macaques. They're very distinct monkeys, bright red face. They're kind of cute. They're kind of cool monkeys. Like you can get really up close with them. At like the hot springs in Nagano or various parks. They're quite friendly. They're quite nice. Just don't get too close and don't make eye contact or they will destroy you and rip your face off. This monkey, he's having a bit of an adventure. He's having what can only be described as a monkey holiday.
Yeah.
He was first spotted in like Yoyogi Park walking around. Then he made his way up to Shinjuku. And now he's near a preschool in Shibuya. And I think that's the main concern. Young children plus monkey equals
macaques are
terror.
Macaques are very aggressive. They can be very aggressive if startled.
Exactly. And we need Pete Donaldson, who worked at a Gibbon Zoo many moons ago, to come over and capture the monkey. Because the Japanese police certainly aren't having much luck. They've not been able to catch the monkey. Every time they do, he like runs up a tree and like does some sort of mad like speed running over the buildings of Shibuya. It's quite impressive. But there's some really cool photos of the monkey just sort of like wandering around, lazing around the city, having a right old time. As of tonight, the monkey has yet to be caught and no injuries have been reported, although officials are asking residents to be cautious and refrain from offering the animal snacks or food should they encounter it. So if you see the monkey, if you're out in Tokyo, give him a cheeky wave, but don't feed him any snacks.
No.
And if you can see him, get a photo of him. Share it on Twitter, isn't it? Like everyone else has.
Damn right.
He's becoming like a Twitter king. King of Twitter tonight.
Does Japan have a history of doing satirical character Twitter pages? You know, whenever McBoaty McBoatface or the Suez Canal boat. I'm mainly thinking of boats for some bloody reason.
Oh yeah,
but there'll always be a Twitter account set up by some wag who writes from the perspective of the big ship stuck in the Suez Canal. Has anyone opened a Twitter account from the point of view of the monkey yet?
Not that I can see, unfortunately. Yeah, but it definitely demands to be done. Just like a running commentary. Keep running around. It's nice though. I like that story. That's a nice story. I hope he gets out of it all alive, to be honest. Because if he gets too near a school, it could end quite badly for Mr. Macaque. So,
Mr. Macaque Monkey.
Yeah, they're pretty cool though. I do recommend... It's a very popular tourist attraction, but the hot springs in Nagano, where you can see the monkeys in winter having a good old splash around. Famously, on the second season of Journey Across Japan, we did go there with Natsuki and Joey, and we saw not a single monkey because it was September. It was kind of hot, and the monkeys don't like to sit in the hot spring in the hot weather. So don't be like me. Don't be a twat. Go in the winter and see the snow monkeys there. Although, ironically, the next day we did see them. They were in the park. We stayed in some sort of weird holiday camp shack. And we came out the front door in the morning. There was a big family of macaques wandering around. So we got lucky after all. But they are cool. Like you do see them. Like in the Japanese countryside, when you're sort of driving around, you'll see them just like running across the road every now and then. And on the most recent Wacky Weekend with Connor and Natsuki, why we were waddling our way to this like abandoned hotel shipyard thing in the second half of the video, we did hear like wee, 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 like this screeching noise in the distance of like some monkeys having a fight, pierce the sort of midnight air, the sound of screaming macaques. It was all very exciting and very scary. Connor claims to have encountered a snake. I think it was a branch. Because if you pause the video where he screams and look down, you can see a long branch over his foot,
right.
And he thinks it was a snake, but it's not a snake; it's a branch.
It's just
and Connor's an idiot.
It's a big snake. Wonderful!
What a muppet! We'll be back with the facts machine and your questions in just a moment, guys.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What do we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Donaldson?
We got a message from Corey from New York. Hello, the both of you, Big Daddy Broad and Punchy Pugilist Pete. Obviously, you wouldn't know when the country intends to open for tourism, but would you happen to have any sense of whether or not the average Japanese citizen is open to the idea of allowing tourists into the country again? Are people hesitant or content with the way things are now? What do you reckon, Chris? I mean, how many people have you spoken to who just sort of think that it's the right thing to do to keep everyone out?
I think if you ask lots of Japanese people at the moment, they'll be like, nah, we don't want foreigners now.
Yeah.
Unless they work specifically in the tourism or the hospitality industry, which have been annihilated. Although they have this go-to travel campaign where they try and encourage people to travel around Japan, give out vouchers, and that's done wonders for the tourism sector domestically. But there was some good news this week. Now that the elections are over, politicians are a bit more open-minded to letting people back in. And also, over 70% of the country is now fully vaccinated and rising quickly. So that's also encouraging. Cases are down, and they are talking about letting in business travelers into the country, which is a good first step. And also lowering the amount of time you need to quarantine, because right now I think you've got to stay indoors for 10 to 14 days in your apartment when you get back. So I think it's looking good. I do think early next spring, there's a good chance they'll open the doors and we can finally get things going again and have lots of you guys coming over. But I think right now, most people in Japan just kind of don't want to kick things off again. They're sort of happy with the way it is. And they like things being closed off. So yeah, I think they like it now. And that's why politicians have not opened the doors early. You know, Japan has been the strictest of all the G7 countries when it comes to its borders. And, you know, it's not been good either. Lots of people who have student visas have been locked out. Lots of people that had jobs lined up have had to sort of just sit at home waiting for a year now to be let in. So it's been really bad for so many people. I think there's 300,000 people waiting to get in, I read, who have had their visas sort of preemptively prepared. So, yeah, it's looking good, but I'd say most people here are still kind of reluctant to just open the doors and swing it open to the likes of Pete Donaldson.
Hey, look, if you just get me that business meeting, get me that business meeting with with this and that, with this and
that's
that.
That's true, actually. Yeah.
What's wrong with you? Why can't we have a little business meeting in your set? I'm here to help you out.
I mean, what would classify as a business trip? Like,
you're a businessman. Like, oh, yeah, business, I'm a businessman. Yeah, you're a businessman. I'm a businessman. Let's have a meeting.
How do they do that when you get to like the gate, the gates of Japan, the immigration? They're like, you're not going to go and look at the King Kakuji Temple. Like, nah, meeting, isn't it?
Business, mate. Business.
Just business. Just business. We got one here from Chris from Korea, which could have been the name of my YouTube channel had I accepted my job teaching in Korea all those years ago. Hello, Chris and Pete. I love the podcast and I look forward to visiting Japan in the near future. You cover so many great topics about Japan, but I feel one very important topic is missing: a video on Japanese whiskey. Both of you being UK chaps, I'm sure you somewhat enjoy whiskey. The whiskey scene in Japan is very good. What are your thoughts on it? And will you do a video on it anytime soon? Chris from Korea. Well, Chris, I have done a video on whiskey that nobody has watched because we I always get people asking me to make a video on whiskey. And that's
and they never
this
want
is
to,
the very reason I don't do it, because nobody actually watches it. There was a video I made, I think, 3-4 years ago called Staying in a 1,000-year Japanese hot spring. And to be fair, I didn't label it as Japanese whiskey because I thought this would do better. But in that video, Ryota and I went to I think it was the Nikka Whiskey Distillery just outside of Sendai. Mm. And I drank lots of whiskey in the morning and got drunk. But it was good because I was being a connoisseur and I could claim it was for educational benefit, which it definitely was.
That's a business meeting. That's my business meeting.
Yeah, business meeting, wasn't it?
Yeah, business meeting. Yeah.
Pete needs to get over here for a business meeting in a gin distillery. But I think that's probably the first and last time I'll cover whiskey. I'm not a big whiskey drinker. I don't mind it, but I don't feel like I'm ready for whiskey. I'm not mature enough. Give me my Moscow mules and wine. You like whiskey, right, Pete?
I like Japanese whiskey in particular. My favourite is the Hibiki range, which I think means echo. Does it mean echo or ghost or something? Hibiki? I think it might mean echo. But I've had like bottles of... I imported a video game for a video game / other kind of journalist, investigative journalist. I think I mentioned it before, that $600, $500, maybe even more expensive Neo Geo game that I went to Akihabara. I went to one of the big ones and one of the big shops and bought this video game. Actually, I went to the Big Mandrake in Tokyo and bought it and brought it back. Sure. And as soon as you... import it yourself, you automatically it automatically doubles in price. It's insane. Like if you know what you're looking for, you can make a pretty chunky profit just bringing games home. You certainly could back then. And he gave me a bottle of Hibiki 10 or 15 or something, years old. I have in Japan, I think I've definitely tried a 21. I may have even tried the 50 quid a shot, 30, maybe not actually. It basically, the bottles are like $8,000. Each and they just stopped making them, to be honest. It's very, very rare that you see anything over your 21s. But it was very good. It was very good. And I think when in Rome, if you see a bottle of seriously old whiskey, I think even your other mate Pete said that. If you see a bottle of really, really old whiskey, you really have to indulge, because it's a real treat and it tastes like nothing else you've ever tasted before. So Hibiki. I really like Hibiki.
Hibiki. This podcast not sponsored by Hibiki.
No,
which
if it was
interestingly means Hibiki means echo or reverberate. That's the word Hibiki.
There we go.
Bit of knowledge
there.
How old were you when you decided whiskey was good? Because I don't know if I'm old enough yet to
experience it. You're right. I mean, that bottle of Hibiki whiskey, I was at points. I mean, it's an expensive bottle. The first one I got, it's a good 60, 70 quid, the cheapest one. And I was making picklebacks with it. So I think my entry was like really good whiskey with pickle juice, kind of get doing it that way, really. So yeah, it's stuff like that, really.
Good old whiskey, enjoy it.
Good old whiskey
stuff. We got one here from Sarah, who says, "Kind greetings to Lord Chris, Emperor of the Abroad Empire, and Lord Pete, King of Coolish." Insert sarcastic and disgusted remark by Chris. I haven't drunk enough whiskey to be disgusted and sarcastic. Something sounds so wrong about being Emperor of the Abroad Empire, though. It sounds inherently wrong. Chris, because Japan is a context-based language where many different words can sound similar or even be spelt in the same way, have you ever experienced that you've either misunderstood what someone said or was misunderstood yourself due to thinking of the wrong word or context? Kind regards from Denmark's top Japan enthusiast, Sarah from Denmark. That's a good question, and it's a tough one, to be honest. Can you think of any words off the top of your head, Pete, that sound similar?
I was saying the word, I've said it before, I will probably repeat this story because I've not been in Japan for a little while. I repeat this all the time. I was, when I was saying no to things, I was actually saying the word house. Ie is house, ie is no. And I was, instead of saying ie, and you know, when you're sort of in that situation where you are trying to say to somebody, "Don't not to worry." You know what I mean? Don't worry about me. It's all good. I'm fine.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're saying, "Yeah, like you're fine. I'm fine. I'm fine." That's no. And I was just going, "House." House.
Yeah. I'm really bad at like thinking things like this off the top of my head.
Yeah.
So let's cheat. Japanese words that sound the same. Let's type that into Google, see what comes up. There's a really common example that most people know, and that's kawaii versus kawaii. Scary versus cute, right? Kawaii, it's cute.
Kawaii
is scary.
Karei and karai? Is that two
karai
words?
Karai is spicy. Kide is pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've got suaru. Do you know what suaru is?
Oh, I don't know.
And sawaru. Suaru means to sit down, and suaru means to touch. So,
oh, yes. We have heard that one before. Yeah. Can I touch you? Can I touch this?
Please sit down. Touch me. We've got
Shopai and Opai.
Oksan. Shopai and Opai, for God's sake. Salty versus big breasts. Shopai Opai. It sounds like a crappy 1980s video game, doesn't it? Shopai Opai.
Terrible cop duo.
We've got Okashi versus Okashi, which is candy and scary or strange. Mm. So Okashi means candy. Okashi means kind of strange or odd. And, you know, a lot of people always mess up aru versus iru. Aru is to exist, and iru is to exist, but iru is for something that's living. I think it's quite interesting in the Japanese language. One of the first things you learn is that people in Japan like to discern between things that are alive and things that aren't. So, you know, when Pete's here, you'd be like, "Oh, Pito-san, iru." Pete's here. You wouldn't say Pito-san, aru. You always say iru. And, you know, I forget things like that because I've been doing, like, I've known Japanese for almost a decade now. I forget a lot of the cool things in the language like that, where they sort of like to discern between the living and the non-living. Like, imagine doing that in English. It just wouldn't make any sense, would it? So, I mean, those are some good ones. But yeah, kawaii and kawaii is the one that you hear the most, that people love to talk about, I think.
Right,
And also another one, kaze. What does kaze mean, Pete?
Kaze? I don't know what kaze means.
Kaze means like wind.
Oh, I see.
That so what's sense. What's kamikaze?
Oh, kamikaze. Naughty wind. Justice wind or something, I don't know. Something like that.
It's like wind of the gods.
Wind of the
kamikaze.
Gods.
Like kamikaze, right? The old suicide bombing plane.
Yeah.
Kamikaze, wind of the gods. But kaze can also mean like cold, to be like sick, to have like a kaze, cold illness.
Interesting.
Another one, kikai. Kikai can mean machine. It could also mean opportunity, like a chance. So kikai or kikai.
How does
it does get complicated.
Yeah. You
but can't really again, like it all. Yeah. That could be a tough one. But like it all comes down to context. And I found once you've sort of learned the language, it really doesn't become that much of an issue, to be honest.
It's all about really context, hasn't. I suppose. And also like
context.
We talk about how difficult Japanese is, and it is. Imagine me Japanese and learning English. Someone pointed out the word yacht yesterday on Twitter. Imagine seeing the word fucking yacht and not wanting to throw all your books in the bin.
Exactly. You know, what the hell would you even say? It'd be like yacht, wouldn't it? I got my yacht.
Yacht. I'm trying to find somebody. Like, somebody got in touch. Remember, we had a story. I just kind of like checking up on what we said before. We had a story about a couple of weeks ago, maybe last week. Someone was in the showering a kid or something, and they were singing a song. Remember, they were singing a song about so and so has a big chest. Do you remember? And then someone pointed out that it's clearly talking about, and it was the name of like a porn star. So this dad was singing to the son about a porn star having big boobs or something like that. It's so weird. Imagine being that famous a porn star and being able to kind of, you know, break through for men to, you know, for dads to feel so comfortable talking to their kids about it. I suppose it's the same as like a Linda Lusardi or a Jordan over here, I suppose, but
that's just made last week's story all the more sinister. I think that was two episodes ago now, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's just turned a heartwarming story into something rather sinister. And,
I can't remember who pointed that out to me, but I can't find the message. But thank you very much, whichever deviant pervert got in touch.
Yeah, we sometimes miss the tragic. We tragically miss the nuances of some of these stories. We need more context. What would we be without context? Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to RawJapanPodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week, guys, to do it all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days. We'll see you right back here on the Raw Japan Podcast. Do it all over again later during the week, in the next few days. But for now, have yourselves a good one. Bye, bye, bye. Shopai opai. God.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.